We'll call to order the February 15th meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I will do a roll call. Noah Subi?
Here.
Nancy Pirano?
That's right, here.
Michael McPartland is at the moment absent. Mark Appel is excused, by the way. And Louis Pollak, is that it? Pollak.
Here.
All right, and Judy Anderson, I'm the chair, and I am here. Since there's nobody here for the call to the public, we will skip that. The first item on the agenda is a discussion and possible recommendation to the mayor and council to amend Bisbee zoning code by inserting Article 7.47 into the Bisbee zoning code. And we will ask the staff to give us a report, please. I won't explain it since there's nobody here to explain it to.
Yeah. All right, Chairman and Planning Commissioners. So before you is, and I know that Joe had spoken to Attorney Britt Hansen. I guess there's been some concern. And what I wasn't sure is where it was necessarily coming from, but I guess there's been some concern expressed about vehicles being used for signage. And then the thought here was to try to, I mean, it's one thing if a vehicle is part of the normal everyday operations of a business, but if they're basically using a vehicle just to park it and it's maybe not running, that's appears to not be acceptable. So again, trying to have some language. This came from, actually, the language here that you're looking at would be from the city of Sierra Vista. And also, the county has something very similar. Again, I just wanted to, and I guess I'll refer you back to, I guess it's actually on the agenda here. But so again, you know, the idea is that the little deliberation with the Planning Commission, see what you guys think about it, if you have any thoughts, and then if you're comfortable, you could certainly make a recommendation to the City Council to adopt this language. And this would be inserted into the sign regulation section of the Bisbee Zoning Code. But then that's the gist of it. So again, just to address some, you know, issues or concerns about the use of vehicles and signage. Mm-hmm. And I know coming from a town, I could just speak to that, you know, that's basically where we kind of went with Pine Top. Basically, we did not want to interfere. I mean, if someone has a vehicle that's, you know, licensed in the normal part of the course of business, that's fine. We don't want to go there. But we just, my experience has been that, you know, if someone's just parking a vehicle that's not really running, just to have additional off-site signage, that's something definitely the community can regulate. So that's what the wishes are of the Planning Commission.
Right. So. I think this is the result of a pickup that parks in Old Bisbee and points up the hill to a restaurant. It's got kind of a sandwich board sign in the bed. As I read this, it doesn't seem to preclude. That would be my main concern. You know, someone like Noah Subi's business that has on the side Subi Construction and parks at a construction site. I don't think it interferes with that in any way.
No, like I said,
right.
I'm sure, Noah, that you probably use your vehicle. That's, you use it every day. It's part of your business activities. But again, you know, let's just say you had an old truck that you decided to go park somewhere and it said no construction, then that's really what it's targeting. Mm-hmm. Because that's all it's doing. It's just serving the signage. But, you know, right. For someone that has a business vehicle, that would not preclude mm-hmm. them from being able to, you know, to have a sign on the side of their vehicle.
Well, I will call the public hearing open and I will close it immediately since we have nobody here. Not sure if that's even necessary, but now's the opportunity for the commission to discuss this. And I think one of the issues really is that a sign in of that sort doesn't have any location that is permanent. So you could park it there, and then if that parking spot's gone, you could park it, you know, over here in front of somewhere else. And it just, plus it opens the door for a lot of signage that isn't permitted. It doesn't have to come through the regular process to get a permit. So don't know how other commissioners feel about it. Yeah, I mean, this particular, it just happens that this particular car never, or truck never moves.
Right.
Ever. And it's in the parking lot by the Lyric Theater, which, you know, there's not enough parking for people anyway. That's my two cents. It's, right, it doesn't...
That is too, it also takes up a parking spot.
Correct.
And probably two with that truck.
It's pretty big, it's
right.
Pretty good sized truck.
Correct.
That's my complaint about the whole issue. That vehicle is there all day long, and it takes up what I consider a valuable space.
Yeah.
There's so little parking in this town.
Right, and takes it up permanently. And I noticed we were on Brewery Gulch the other night, and you can, and it's, the business is very visible.
Correct.
From below, because she's done a good job of lighting it and putting signs on it and so on. Of course, it's not, this isn't particular to that business, that's just what prompted the issue.
What does the current code say about sandwich board signs on sidewalks or anywhere?
We'd have to look. I think sandwich board signs are allowed.
There was some debate, though, remember, Judy, I think before either of you were on the commission, we had this come up a couple years ago. Remember this? And it was, wasn't it about the sandwich board signs that are in the little desert landscape just...
City property.
Between the stop sign and the sidewalk next to Grassy Park.
Right.
And
I do remember that.
We had a discussion about it, and I don't know if we passed this on to the city council and they voted on it, but it seemed to me that the way we compromised was that if they took it down at the end of each day, it was okay for them to put it in that spot. This was directing tourists up the gulch,
right,
to some of the businesses that are up the gulch. And so I think people are really good about going and taking those ones down daily, at least soon after that discussion. So I don't know where what was decided on those sandwich boards falls in.
I'll go ahead. This is right out of Article 7.2.2, but let me read that. It does talk about sandwich board and other portable signs. A sandwich board, A-frame, or freestanding portable sign may be located on the subject property or in the vicinity of the subject property, provided the sign does not exceed 4 feet in height and the sign is removed by the close of business each night.
Okay. Thank you for finding that.
So, I mean, maybe... This addition that we're talking about here seems like it specifically is talking about parked vehicles, and maybe that's all we should talk about tonight, because if this person were to choose to put the sandwich board down somewhere, it's a whole another issue.
Right.
But yeah, my feeling is the same as my fellow commissioners, that if the vehicle is part of the business and is needed for the business and has to be flagged or decorated with the business logo and stuff, I don't have any problem with that. If they, like a realtor or a construction company, has to have their logo on it, and then they have to find different places to park when they're at their business or at home or whatever, there's their vehicle. And so if they had a vehicle that they needed for delivering beverages to the business, then they get a little bit of free advertising there by having that on there. But having a big sandwich board on the back seems to be skirting the rules a little bit, and we don't want to have the town filled with a bunch of sandwich boards on vehicles.
Right. And the only other problem that I foresee is up Tombstone Canyon by Castle Rock, there is another vehicle that's parked there that constantly is advertising, you know, buy one, get one, or two for one, or something like that. Now, I can't remember if it's actually advertising, but I do know that there is at least one more vehicle that parking is city parking, correct?
along Tombstone Canyon to say by Castle Rock? That's all city parking as well.
Yeah.
I believe it is. And I haven't seen that, so it's in the bed of the truck also.
Well, it's a banner, and I don't want to interrupt, but I think that sign has been addressed by DRB. I wish Michael was here to...
I know, I thought he was going to.
But that banner raised some concerns about signage done on vinyl, and I think, have you seen it lately?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't think I have.
Yeah, I think they did something that made vinyl signs, I don't want to say prohibited, but something that addressed that sign recently in a different sense, not so much that it was on the vehicle, but that the material it was made out of.
Oh.
Because sometimes they hang it on the building as well.
Right.
Itself, off the porch.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're straying a little bit from the topic, but that might be something we want Joe to look into and give us a report on at a later meeting.
I can understand what this is all about. I don't want to be punitive to a business mm-hmm. that's trying to make it in this town. It's hard enough to do. But since there is recourse with sandwich boards and getting permission to put one up, mm-hmm. it seems reasonable that can be pointed out to the business owner if it hasn't already been done so.
Right.
And this addition can mm-hmm. makes perfect sense mm-hmm. in that we're freeing up a parking space
right.
that's mm-hmm. very valuable. So.
Is there any more discussion?
I don't know if I should even bring this up. I just wouldn't want this to then affect a sign that's on a vehicle, which they do quite a bit at the traffic circle, that advertises a fundraiser for Warehoused or the Shred thing that's at, you know where I'm talking about?
Temporary sign.
Yeah. Maybe since that isn't necessarily for a business or a commercial entity, maybe that isn't affected by this rule.
Doesn't really say commercial signs, but it might say something. Do you think, Paul, that does it say?
Well, I'm looking under, like, you have a category for temporary signs, you know, and it
yeah.
could be for a specific event, a grand opening, community gathering, or fundraising. So, you know, perhaps, I mean, you could just say, look, the sign's only going to be out for a specific amount mm-hmm. of time for a very specific, but again, it doesn't advertise a specific business.
So right.
I wouldn't say you're giving that business an advantage over someone else because it just advertised a community event. So that might be possibly categorized under temporary signs for like a specific event or special event or something like that. So
certainly are a lot on the traffic circle. So and it's never been an issue before.
And it does say these may include banners, streamers, balloons, or other types of specialty signs. And they shouldn't be out for longer than 30 days. And those associated with this particular event mm-hmm. must be removed within 5 days of the end of the event. So, I mean, I think there's language there that okay. would cover that situation.
I think that does cover it. That satisfies me anyway. Does it,
yeah.
Phil?
Yes.
Does it? Okay. Thank you, Paul. So, any more discussion or anything that staff would like to offer?
Again, you know, once you feel like you've deliberated this to the point where if you're comfortable, you know, mm-hmm. I would encourage you guys, if you want to make a recommendation to the city council, then feel free to do so.
Well,
yeah.
Are you ready to,
sure.
Is yes. one of the commissioners ready to make a motion, please? Okay.
Ms. Anderson, I'll move that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommend that the Mayor and Council of City of Bisbee amend Bisbee Zoning Code by inserting the proposed Article 7.4.7 signs on parked vehicles.
And I'll second that.
Okay. And I'll do a roll call vote. So, Mr. Subi?
Aye.
Ms. Parana?
Aye.
Mr. Pawlik?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. So it's unanimous for 4-0 to move it on to the city council for action. Okay. The next item on the agenda is a discussion and possible action for amending the special use permit application to add criteria to the application that allows for more thorough information for the commission to have in front of them to review a request. We've talked about this several times and basically agreed, in our discussions at least, to use the evaluation criteria that is already being used in the zoning regulation and, or in the zoning application. I was reading this, one of the questions I have, and I'm still not clear on this, I think of, is how this criteria is actually adopted in the regulations. We're not listing them in the regulation. I guess it's just assumed that whatever is in the, that you have to submit an application, and whatever's in the application is what you need to.
You know, the county, I'll use this as an example, we've codified that, so I think it would make sense. I mean, it's one thing to have it in an application, but, you know, how do you enforce it if it's not codified? And I think, you know, the application is, and just in talking to Joe, and I didn't have a lot of time to look at this, but this is kind of his attempt. I wanted to include what we use.
There may be
similarities in this, but this is, and we just got through kind of going through and making sure we don't have excess questions. But again, we could certainly, you know, I don't mind spending a little more time, but I think at some point within the regulations, wherever the appropriate location is, that you probably want to codify, because that's what we've done. You know, we have a specific special use permit section within our regulations, and it basically outlines these are the criteria that the Planning Commission will evaluate when they're trying to render a decision. So I think we can definitely, and if I'm not mistaken, I won't digress, but wasn't there a similar discussion about doing that for the zoning criteria as well?
That's what I thought, and I went back and reread the zoning application. It's got about four things in there that the Commission should consider, but it doesn't have this full list of evaluation criteria. Let me find that. That's procedures. And I just felt like I didn't get an answer right for the special use. Well, the rezoning doesn't even have those four criteria. The special use has damage or nuisance arising from noise. It has about four, whether it's compatible and so on, but it doesn't have this entire list.
And I think at some point a text amendment could be done to incorporate those right into the zoning code.
It's cumbersome, I mean, to put all that information in there. But I don't think that this particular description actually does that. So I'm not sure it doesn't. Well, I should let you give your staff report to see where you land on this.
You know, and I think this touches on it, but again, I think a good place, you know, when I look at these eight that are identified here, I mean, certainly it would be nice to see those located within the zoning code. You know, it's talking about, you know, compliance with site development standards, compatibility with, and I don't have to read the list, but you can see those are the criteria that basically, it looks very familiar to what the county's using.
Right.
Again, these are the kind of things you're going to want to know as you're trying to weigh in on a decision about what kind of impacts are going to be, occurring within the subject parcel area. So, but again, you know, staff, if you'd like, we can certainly look at if you're okay with this, or if you want me to do. And I honestly haven't had a chance to do a side-by-side comparison. I mean, nobody wants to have a longer application than necessary, but again, making sure that, and I don't know if I don't believe Joe actually sent this out. I mean, I only got it today. So I don't know if you had a chance to review it, right?
We just got it today. Okay. What I had done was I printed out the zoning application and reviewed those, but this was just, I don't think this was advertised as a public hearing, at least.
No, I don't believe it.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we're just doing a final, or hopefully final discussion on this. So I'd like to hear from the other, the commissioners, but...
I did a quick, this is the first time I've seen this.
Right.
Haven't had a chance to digest it.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like this is, this was also Mark Appel had a lot
Right.
of input on the possible changes for the application. I have to admit that I'm real unsure of what the, you know, problems with the initial application were in the first place. I don't remember the notes on that.
Well, I think, I don't know if we want to bring it back for public hearing or just one final discussion next month. I think maybe one more discussion, but I would like to see, as I recall the discussion when Mr. Appel is here, is that these, that we need to somehow word it so it's understood that these apply if appropriate. I mean, you don't, if someone is opening, I'm trying to think of something, but a little candy shop downtown or something, they probably aren't using hazardous materials. But if they're opening a laundromat, then we need to know what's going to happen to the chemicals that are used, or a dry cleaner is what I meant to say. And so we want these to, I would like to see them actually in the zoning regs, but with some comment to say when appropriate or when applicable. So that would be my comments. And
so the special permit that we currently use, the one that's I guess too simple. So
right.
if we could compare, if we had a copy of that, I think that would, you know, I can look at it.
This is it, right?
I believe the special use permit application, as I understand it, you can look at, is the first three pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was, the last page was the addition, is that correct?
Yeah, and just so, I'm not sure if the commission's aware, but I believe that, so Joe used the rezoning application as the model for this.
Okay.
So again, I mean, there's some overlap there, but I know that, you know, mm-hmm. we have distinct applications for rezonings and special use, but I think mm-hmm. I don't know if that was the direction he was given, was to try to use that as a model to create mm-hmm. this. So again, you know, at some point, if you want to do the side-by-side comparison, but again, leading up to the next meeting for March, you know, if you want to give me some direction, you know, what would you like to see? And again, I'm sure Mark will be back, and I can probably have a chat with him as well, leading up to that, to figure out what you guys would like to see. And again, when we design the RFP, we're always thinking, you know, again, we never want to ask more questions than we have to. Make it user-friendly, right? Because these applications can tend to be a little bit long, and you just don't want to ask more things than you really need to.
Right. Well, you can, if you go to the city website, you can pull up the zoning application, the special use application, as it is now. And so that might be the way to do it, and then compare it to what was given to us tonight, and
yes.
Come back next month ready to discuss them. And if there are some things that you think have been left out, you can bring those too. It seems pretty thorough to me. But,
okay. And I'll do the same. Go in there and compare that, and just kind of see what we've included that's not here, and see if it's, you know, would be applicable. And I realize there's going to be different types of special use requests, so it's all going to depend. Some are going to be more intensive than others, but again, just trying to customize the application so it covers most situations.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. With some wording, maybe, let's see. I mean, the sentence, the special use application must provide sufficient information for staff to make this analysis. So maybe just based on that, people know that they don't have to, that if there's no information to provide, they don't have to provide it.
Is there any history on what created this issue to begin with? why is the existing application considered inadequate or lacking?
And I understand that it may have just not requested enough information for you as a commission to evaluate the request. It was almost like on the extreme, you know, just being too simple and not maybe requesting the information that the commission would really need to render a decision.
And I think, at least under the rezoning application, sometimes all you got was just a little map and no information whatsoever about the surrounding uses and what impact it might have on surrounding uses. And most of our rezonings, but not all of them, are fairly non-intensive, but we've had one or two where the neighbors were very concerned, so. Does that sound good? No, Mr. Sue, we have to remember to call you by here. So if there's nothing more on that, we'll move on to agenda item three. And do you have a staff report at all for us on this one?
Yes. What I want to do is, and I believe that Joe had sent out, let me back. So House Bill 2365, so what that legislation that basically is saying that communities should adopt some sort of regulations and have a process in place and fees so that, let's just say, Verizon or T-Mobile, if they want to locate their equipment on city-owned utility poles, that there is a process in place to do so. So again, and I know in speaking to the city manager, I mean, he has concerns about what could happen at Historic Bisbee. You know, I mean, and I've seen some of these presentations where they've done, you know, can imagine something the size of a refrigerator going on a utility pole. I mean, it's possible for some of these small cell sites. So the idea is to kind of, you know, and it's really suggesting that communities adopt based on this legislation that was passed. So what I had done is I looked at what the city of Sierra Vista had adopted, and quite frankly, I mean, there's, I guess you all received it, there's like 15 pages here.
Yes.
And trying to figure out, okay, what's best for the mm-hmm. you know, the city of Bisbee. I mean, I know this is what Sierra Vista came up with, and I'm sure that this, you know, it's the link that is because it addresses all of the areas that need to be addressed. But as we move forward, just wanted to kind of bring this up to the attention of the Planning Commission. I know that the city manager, Mr. Smith, has expertise in this area, so he has told staff that, you know, he will work with us to try to come up with something that would be suitable for the city of Bisbee to address these small cell sites. And that's just, in a nutshell, you know, any utility pole potentially could have equipment placed on it. And again, you know, with Old Bisbee a little more dense and, you know, a little more topography to deal with, you could see more of these small cell sites popping up to make sure that people, you know, get the coverage. And I guess they're talking now 5G, so I mean, it's going to take a lot more cell sites to be able to move that data, you know, as fast mm-hmm. as they're talking about. You know, it's hard to imagine, something like 4G is fast, but imagine going to 5G. And again, that's just preparing for the future. So the idea is just to have some sort of regulation procedures to be able to address if someone comes in and makes a request and says, hey, we want to put our equipment on a utility pole, or even it could be on another site. But this is particularly, the legislation was to address cell sites or wireless facilities and rights of way. In a nutshell, if that kind of helps. But I don't know if everyone had a chance to kind of, I mean, there's a lot here. If you try to go through this document, it's like, my gosh, where do we even start?
I didn't read it. And is that their full cell tower regulation, or is it specifically about right-of-way?
I think
this
is specifically for facilities in the right-of-way. So, okay. You know, most, you know, like us, we have a separate mm-hmm. section that talks about what height is permitted in certain districts, and if it's by special use. So this is very specific to those wireless facilities and small cell sites in the right-of-way.
Okay.
So that's, and again, I know that's of concern to the city manager.
Yeah. And the right-of-way ordinance is not in the zoning regulations. That's a whole different as far as I know, I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, and that's a thing, and again, just when I looked, I don't even know, I mean, I'm sure there may be something, I need to look harder, but again, if we even talk about, does Bisbee talk about where cell sites can be, and you know, what the height limit would be for, I just haven't gotten into it.
We have a two-page section on cell towers.
Okay.
Page 52.
So can you imagine having to expand, you know, those two pages into something much, much longer, so. But again, just to give the planning commission a heads up that this is something that's going to be, need to be worked on, so again, and how it comes to you, I'm sure, after staff has a chance, they'll probably run this through the P&amp;Z commission, so you can make a recommendation, but, so I'm sure they're going to need to modify or expand this Article 10.
I think it might be useful to see how some other small communities that have historic districts have addressed this. I mean, Sierra Vista has a very limited historic area, if at all.
And it's essentially flat, too, which
right,
you're not looking up at telephone poles like you are here right across from your porch or whatever.
Right, exactly. And I know there's some cell tower or some cell infrastructure on Central School, but that's, of course, private, so they must have come under these existing regulations. Well, if the city manager has some expertise, I would like him to be invited to share that with us when he's available.
Okay.
And I will I'll make a commitment to look at it in one or two other, like Williams or, I don't know, maybe Sedona, I don't know.
Yeah.
Jerome, maybe?
Jerome might be a good choice, yeah.
Although, I think it's probably a different situation there. I have a feeling that a tower just down in the valley probably sends signal. Well, I guess that would be...
Right.
I don't even really understand wireless. Like, are we talking about... You mentioned things on a utility pole, but is that connected into then utility wires, or this wireless...
Yeah, I know, and these are going to be wired, so they're broadcasting the signal. So most of these are wired, yes. So
new wires will be stretched from utility pole to utility pole.
Well,
too.
And normally, you know, those are coming up from the, you know, from the box. You're not going to really. I mean, normally you're going to see the antenna on the cell site itself, but that stuff's all coming in from the. You know, I don't expect to see these wires coming in from that. Generally,
yeah,
it's going to come in from the bottom of the structure itself. So.
Oh. Although there's, nothing comes in the bottom of the structure on the utility poles in Old Bisbee.
Yeah,
I mean, everything strings across the top until it...
And I'm guessing they're going to run, because even, if, you know, when you look at these lattice cell towers, notice how at the bottom they've got the thing that runs basically all, you know, up through the center line.
Yeah.
So again, that's probably what you're going to end up seeing with these small cell sites. They're not going to be connected, you know, aerially. They're going to be coming in, there'll be some sort of... equipment, you know, at the base, and they'll run that up the pole is generally what you're going to see, how they're configured.
So I guess, so most, like, telephone poles and so on are actually in the public right-of-way?
You know, I was talking to Andy, I know he's reviewing this, but he said that, yeah, I guess that the city does, I don't know the exact number, but the city does own utility poles within the city right-of-way, so I'm not sure. Andy could probably at some point, and maybe he would be part of that discussion too I'll make that mention to Mr. Smith that, you know, the P&Z would like to, you know, invite him to maybe discuss that with you, and maybe Andy would be available as well to...
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Hradek loves meetings, so...
You know, Clarkdale might be another one too, because now that, you know, the wine trail north, they're getting a lot of wine tourism in Clarkdale, so people are coming from Jerome down to Clarkdale, then going to Prescott. So Clarkdale might be a good place to look.
Yeah. Be interesting to see if any of the small communities have addressed this, or if this is just something so new that...
Right, well, and we might be slightly behind, because it seemed like, you know, obviously, you know, Sierra Vista, when did they adopted this, and I think they were trying to make sure... well, they adopted this. It was passed by their council on December 14th. So so of last year. So again, communities should be in a position where they have something already.
Okay.
So that's kind of, that's why I think it's a concern to the manager as well, because if someone came in and made a request, and if you don't have something, that's going to be a little bit problematic.
I did read this document, and it's very painful. And there's a lot of information here that's very good, but there's a lot of information that's not applicable to a small community like this. And it seems to me that this is something for the city manager to address with their expertise, and then come to the Planning and Zoning Council and say, here's what we propose, because we're not experts. We don't know anything about this stuff. And, but like I said, if you want to read this, good luck.
It does seem like there should be a way to make it a little more concise than this many pages.
Oh, I know. It is very lengthy.
Well, that, I think that would be the way to go, is to ask Mr. Smith if he could give us some direction, and Mr. Horadic if he can give us some idea of where in the city there might be opportunities for this to occur. If it's telephone poles, or if it's only poles that the city owns, that's probably fairly limited, but if it's every telephone pole that goes up and down
the road. Yeah, and I think there could be also the concern about if they choose a certain pole, and, you know, I thought it seemed like Zeradic was saying something about having to beef it up, because, again, with the equipment, that pole has to be structurally sound, and they may have to,
you know,
structurally enhance that tower to handle the equipment. So, again, there's some concern there about what those could look like. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, they talk about co-location, where if you can have multiple providers go on the same pole too. I mean, so that gets, opens up to, a lot of discussion about, how many of these could show up.
And if there's the distance between one or the other, what's the coverage between pole A and pole B? What would the coverage of that be?
I have no idea.
Because really, if you think about it, coming down through the tunnel, if they put a pole up there where no one's going to see it, mm-hmm. or there might be some poles that are in the easement there, the coverage could go across the canyon, and maybe they wouldn't have to put any down in the canyon. So that would be limited to, I don't know.
I feel like we need a wireless, like, facilities seminar, like somebody to tell us what that even means, what it is. I don't really understand it, a cell tower versus putting these things on utility poles that are already existing. Remember when the whole Spring Canyon fiasco of the cell tower up there? Mm-hmm. I noticed that in Sierra Vista over by the mall, there's a cell tower that looks like a pine tree. Have you seen that?
It looks so unnatural, doesn't it?
It does. It's like bizarre. And it's funny that it's so close to where they sell the Christmas trees at Christmas time. Like, I thought at first maybe it was just a big advertisement for that.
That's camouflage that's even mentioned in this 15-page document.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just having a difficult time even envisioning what this means.
Yeah.
Right. I know what a cell tower looks like. I know what a monopole looks like in the lattice ones, but in the right-of-way, I just can't conceive of either one of those in any kind of road right-of-way. So it must mean something that I don't understand.
And again, you have to just think of the antenna portion being attached,
not
these monopoles. But again, they're trying to utilize existing utility mm-hmm. poles. But I know it's just, and I just can't think of any good examples, even in Sierra Vista, where you can think where they've attached. And I don't know, is there anything on any of the water towers around here? I mean, it just seemed like I'm trying to find a good example for a small cell site.
That might be an example of, because I have seen them on water towers, not here, or not in Sierra Vista, but in other communities. So that might be an example of right-of-way, or city-owned property at
property
least.
But
when I think of right-of-way, I mostly think of roads and sidewalks. But it is also easements for utilities. Mm-hmm. So.
Should disguise it as mining equipment here.
Yes.
As the old mining equipment.
Yes.
Or put it up on old mining equipment if we could get Freeport to somehow
donate some...
Space.
Yeah, something that just looks like it belongs. Yes. Any other discussion on this item? So I guess basically, to be clear, our direction is to ask Mr. Smith if he'd be willing to come and give us kind of a brief summary of what it is we're actually talking about here, and maybe Mr. Horadic can tell us where there are possibilities that it might occur. I know one of the requirements, if you ask for a special use, I think, for a cell tower on private property, is to bring a list of how many cell towers there already are, and I'm wondering if Mr. Horadic has a list such as that already that people can co-locate on. There's Spring Canyon, there's the hill as you go on 92, which is the only two. Then there's two that the county has on the other side of the tunnel that went in while I was still working there. So, all right, if we're done with that discussion item, we will move on to commissioner comments. The only comment I wanted to say is that the alt lodging, as I understand it, is in front of the city council next Tuesday again, because I believe that Joe Ward sent us a copy of the public notice for that. So that should be an interesting discussion, and I don't know if you want to go or not. I'm sort of hesitant. I don't really want to. I mean, I don't want to offer an opinion. We voted to support it and move it forward. And apparently, the public came out at the city council when they didn't come out here, so which is unfortunate. Any other commissioner comments? Any future agenda items that we feel like our plate is pretty full, but we're still supposed to deal with parking again, and that hasn't come up, but hasn't come back to us. I'm not sure where it is. I think we were sent the parking report, weren't we? And I haven't read it yet, so I will do that. I believe Joe Ward sent us an attachment with a past report on or inventory of parking, and it was some weeks ago during the holidays or something, but I will look for it and read it. So
at the meeting that you missed last month, mm-hmm. there was a professor, I believe, here from the university who talked about using students to
That's correct. That's right. Now I remember Mark was able to secure a project.
I don't know what the outcome of that was. But
okay.
You?
No, I think he. I don't think that professor was here. Was it? It was just that he was saying that, right? That they were going to start doing that.
I can't recall if.
I think that happened. I remember seeing all the college students in town that weekend or mm-hmm. doing assessments and probably measurements and stuff like that. So I think they're in the process of working on it now.
Okay. I missed a good meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the only thing I had was wondering where the parking assessment was. But now I remember an email from Mark Appel saying that the students were going to do some assessment and some appraisal for us, and so it would be nice to know, you know, the status of that. Anything else? Then I will take an a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Right.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Short meeting.
Okay.
I hope we were clear on what we were asking you to do, Paul.
Yep.
Could we ask like a member of, you know, like the Verizon or somebody to come?
I think we could. There's no reason we couldn't ask.